Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited Q2 FY17 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shaunak Savla. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Reddy's earnings call for the second quarter of the fiscal 2017. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. We are conducting a live webcast of this call, and a transcript shall be available on our website soon. Just a reminder, the discussion and analysis in this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's, comprising Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO, Abhijit Mukherjee, our Chief Operating Officer, Anil Nambudiripad, the Senior Vice President and Head of Product Development and Commercialization of our proprietary products business, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is a copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlets without the company's express written consent. Before we proceed to the call, I would like to remind everybody about the safe harbor. The discussion will contain certain forward-looking statements, which are based upon the management's current beliefs and expectations and involve a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause our performance, results, and achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. For more detailed information on risks and uncertainties, you are requested to go to the company's annual report filed with the Form 20-F, which is filed with the U.S. SEC for the year ended 31st March 2016, and the quarterly financial statements filed with the Form 6-K with the U.S. SEC for the quarters ended September, December, and June 2016. After the call, if there are any additional clarifications, please feel free to get in touch with the IR team. There's one more information. There's a new member, Amit Agarwal, who has joined the IR team, and his contacts will also be available on the website. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO.
Thank you, Shaunak. Greetings to everyone. Let me begin with key financial highlights. For this section, all the amounts are translated into US dollar at the convenience translation rate of rupees 66.58, which is the rate as of 30th September 2016. Consolidated revenues for the quarter are rupees 3,586 crores, or $539 million, and grew 11% sequentially. All our major businesses have shown sequential improvement. On a year-on-year basis, it has declined 10%. Revenues from our global generic segment are $435 million, and PFI segment are $87 million. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 56%. Gross margins for global generics and PFI were at 62.3% and 22%, respectively. SG&A spend, including amortization, for the quarter is $177 million and increased by 6% year-on-year. Following the dismissal of the writ filed with the Bombay High Court containing the validity of certain notification issued by the NPPA, a potential liability of $5.2 million has been recorded. Normalized for this, the net sequential decline is primarily on account of reduced remediation costs and the product launch expense by proprietary product segment. On a year-on-year basis, after normalization of the Venezuela-based effect, the increase is largely attributable to normal salary increments, headcount, and other costs. We continue to explore avenues to optimize this spending. R&D expense for the quarter at $78 million, representing 14.5% to revenues. This spend is in line with the ongoing set of development activities as planned. As we had discussed earlier, we have initiated further development activities on the recently in-licensed IP R&D assets from Genoport and Zai, as well as acquired ANDA filings from Teva, which has incrementally added to the stake. EBITDA for the quarter stands at $96 million, which is 18% of the revenue. During the quarter, we generated $61 million of cash flows from operations. We concluded the portfolio acquisition from Teva by paying $350 million and thereafter concluded the quarter with a net debt-to-equity ratio of 0.34. Effective tax rate for the quarter is 23%. We expect the annual effective tax rate to be in the range of 20 to 22%. Key balance sheet highlights are as follows. Our operating working capital increased by $38 million during the quarter. Focus remains on rationalizing working capital across locations. This will obviously be done after considering necessary build-up, impending new product approvals and launches, and geographical expansion. Capital expenditure for the quarter was at $46 million. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 6 months in the form of derivatives and loans for US dollars are approximately $150 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 67.6 to rupees 71.7 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $123 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of 600 million ruble at the rate of rupees 1.03 to the ruble, and euro 3 million largely hedged around rupees 75 to rupees 82.05 to the euro, maturing over next 6 months. With this, I now request Abhijit to take through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to everybody and welcome to the earnings conference call. Overall performance of the quarter is in line with what we expected. Every business has grown sequentially on the back of new launches or volume gains. Broadly, this gives us comfort on the base business. Let me take you through each business to discuss the performance and some key themes. The reference to financial numbers will be in respective local currencies. Our North America revenues were $245 million and grew marginally on a sequential basis. Combination of in-house and partnered new product launches coupled with volume normalization in few products helped counter the adverse impact of McNeil business and competition in some key assets. On the pricing front, we have not seen much movement on a sequential basis. From our side, it's logical to expect some competition in a few of the top products. However, at the same time, we hope to see traction in new product launches to improve further as the year progresses. Coming to Europe, our revenues for the quarter are 24 million euros and it sequentially grew by 11%. We are building on our strategy to leverage our global portfolio and set up a robust institution business in the EU5 that is profitable, stable and lean. On the emerging market front, the macroeconomic stability risks have receded and we expect it to be stable for some time. This is likely to have a rub-on effect on the pharma sector as well as on the respective currencies. Any appreciation in the local currency will be a meaningful source of growth. Specifically to this quarter, our Russia business grew 11% sequentially in constant currency. At H1 level, the business grew by 7% in constant currency. Performance over the last 5 to 6 quarters indicate that stability is gradually coming back to the marketplace. At an overall level, the team continues to focus on productivity enhancement and portfolio augmentation. Ex-Russia, the other markets and emerging markets business performed in line. Further, we are on track to expand our geographic presence through leverage of our institution business portfolio. As explained earlier, we did not have any revenues in Venezuela. We continue our efforts to actively engage with the Venezuelan government to provide affordable medicines to the country, but with an assurance on payments. Domestic formulation business revenues are 625 crores and grew 14% year-on-year. This is good growth considering the season pickup while continuing to face the challenging NPPA pricing requirements. Portfolio acquired from UCB has also performed in line with the plan. Team continues to focus on increasing the productivity and augmenting the portfolio. PSAI business posted revenues of 87 million and grew 22% sequentially. The sequential improvement in the business can be attributed to improvement in supply situations and order inflow. On the quality front, we are actively focusing towards universal compliance of the global quality management systems. Specific to the three warning letter affected sites, we have addressed all the commitments and we await inspection by FDA. Simultaneously, we are trying to ensure that critical products have alternate sites assigned to them. On our proprietary product business, we are closely monitoring the market for our newly launched brands Zembrace and Cernivo. Several initiatives to accelerate volume growth have been put in place, and we are seeing a gradual increase in prescription growth. On the R&D front, the pipeline is continuing to grow. Several programs with neurology and dermatology have achieved clinical proof of concept, and plans are in place for initiation of pivotal registration studies. To summarize, we have improved sequentially, but at the same time, we remain cautiously optimistic of the approvals and launch scenario for quarters to come. Management focus is primarily on new launches in North America generics market, improvement of productivity in the branded generics business, deliver on the quality improvement initiatives, and strengthen product pipeline for the respective businesses. With this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attached tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Manoj Garg from HealthCo. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good evening. I have a few quick ones. One, any abnormalities in U.S. pricing? Two, what the timing of the FDA reinspection? And then lastly, I saw a new filer on Revlimid. Can you confirm if that's ready and whether you would expect to get sued there?
Pricing erosion has become a part of the U.S. Business model. Currently, there are essentially four customers. You know, consolidation has taken it to that level. Having said that, it will not be uniform quarter on quarter. The last quarter was very harsh. This quarter was certainly better, much better. But having said that, to say that, you know, it's on the wane would be too optimistic. Inspection, we mentioned that we have done our part of it in terms of completing all the remediation activities, keeping in touch with agency with updates, and as we mentioned, we have requested the agency for reinspection. It has to sort of follow the process and has to fit into the calendar, and we have to wait for that. Meanwhile, we're also trying to engage with them for a face-to-face. Revalimed, I won't comment on that.
Okay, no, that's fine. So back to the pricing. So it sounds like So downward pressure is a commonplace of the U.S. market. But it sounds like you're saying in this fiscal Q2, it was a little bit less than fiscal Q1.
The erosion is a little subdued this particular quarter. Having said so, that if there is one more approval coming in any of the top assets, it will again, it could see an upswing. You see, largely Valsite was the biggest impacted molecule. The injectables also seeing pressure, but you know, by inner nature of the business, it's there is some, you know, long-term contracts and so on and so forth, which helps us to hedge to a certain extent. But having said that, we'll have to take it in our stride.
Okay, now that's very helpful. And then, so just a clarity on the, so you have asked FDA for reinspection, so you are waiting for them to get back to you.
Yeah, you're following the usual process. This is what it follows for all companies, I think.
Doesn't that have a clock? Isn't there a 180-day clock on that?
Nothing at all. No. I think it depends on the, you know, how agency feels about the responses, and you can take statistically, typically how much time it takes. It follows a, you know, certain timeline.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from Kumar Saurabh from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my questions.
Kumar, I'm sorry to interrupt. We are unable to hear you. Can you be a little louder?
Yeah, hi.
Thank you.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so the U.S. business sales sequentially has marginally improved, even though the McNeil impact as well as, you know, competition on the injectable side has worsened. So does that mean that, you know, apart from the new launches which we have seen, how has the base business fared apart from this these injectable portfolio, the couple of products which we have?
Yeah, erosion, as I mentioned, has not been severe in this quarter. But McNeil business, we had messaged last time, it saw the full blow impact of the McNeil business pretty much going away in this, in this quarter. It's more than it's in double digits. So. Beyond that, I think as far as the broad launches are concerned, you're aware that if you take the first half, two assets are relatively moderately attractive, between 20 to 30 million range. The rest are with four, which we have launched, are very small. You know, so that's the overall picture.
Yeah, and we have earlier guided for a better 2H compared to the first half. Do we stick to that in terms of U.S. launches?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we mentioned we are cautiously optimistic. I think we'll stick to that. The assets have litigation aspects, have, you know, FDA approval pathway aspects.
Yeah.
But let's stay cautiously optimistic.
Sure. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
So thanks for taking my question. Just to follow up on the last one, previously you mentioned you expect a brisk pace of launches in the second half, given we have de-risked a lot of these launches from the impacted facilities. Does your cautiously optimistic comment incorporate that? So should we still see launches improve? And how many of these do you think could be meaningful?
So launches will be there. It will be improved. And the meaningful means it, you know, you at least know one specific launch is litigation outcome dependent. So that we'll have to know when actually the costing comes up. Overall, second half, we expect to be better than first half for the generics.
Okay. And my second question is on Vidaza. We did see competition come in, but the numbers don't seem to suggest, you know, too much erosion. So is it fair to assume that we didn't really see too much erosion generic Vidaza due to this new entrant, and that could, you know, start coming through as these long-term contracts that you talk about go away?
No, I think price per vial has taken some hit for sure. But competition, I think, as you are aware, one is a 505B2 in when generics available. Having traction there may be a little difficult, but otherwise the other one, which is, plain and is certainly in nibbling share. I mean, but institution businesses have a slightly different nature of erosion. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just trying to understand the proprietary products that you've launched, a couple of products. How has been the traction? Have they reached double-digit sales? And what is the expectations in terms of second half and next year?
So we have Anil on this call. So I will request Anil to respond.
Yeah, hi, sure. This is Anil Nabudripad. Let me talk about the two new launches in proprietary products. We are continuing to see traction with both prescribers and in terms of total prescriptions. Over the last 3 months, July to September, that is when we measured it, we have doubled the number of prescribers. And 40% of those prescribers are actually repeat prescribers, so which is a good sign. Second, just in the month of September, prescribers grew by 22%. Prescriptions are also growing consistently. This is, let me specifically talk about Zembrace, and then I will come to Zernivo. Prescriptions for Zembrace are growing consistently and have crossed the 1,000 prescriptions per month mark, which is a milestone for us, with a four-month growth rate of 54%. Similarly, for Zernivo, prescriptions have crossed 2,000 prescriptions per month, and the number of prescribers has also grown to about 2,000. With, again, 40% of those prescribers being repeat prescribers. These are all some of the benchmarks that we look at early stages of launch because these indicate how the product is poised to perform. The growth rate of prescriptions is also, in case of Zernivo, been 50%. The base business is on track to budget. Moving forward, we expect to see, especially with Zernivo, we expect to see a significant increase in the coming months due to favorable seasonality of this particular product usage.
Yeah, but any color in the sales would have also helped because we are seeing a very flattish YOY Q&Q movement in the same.
Yes. So let me talk about that. Our focus has been on, because in case of neurology, we are new to the market as Promius Neurology. It has taken us a bit of more time than expected in terms of establishing our presence in the market. We had not significantly done pre-market or market development activities prior to launch. So as a consequence, what we are focusing on right now is to build volume and increase the number of prescribers and the number of patients who experience our product, because our belief is that if we are able to increase volume, then as we continue to get listed across all the managed care formularies, these will all turn into revenue scripts. So there's a significant effort in terms of sampling as well as certain experience programs that we are conducting in the field. So you're not really seeing that translated into numbers. But as we continue to get managed care coverage, right now we are at about 50% managed care coverage. As you know, you're working with each of these specific managed care bodies to get listed in their formularies, and that is a process of its own, where we negotiate rebates and things like that. So that is taking its time. And once we are able to get adequate managed care coverage, you will start seeing the numbers. But the prelude to those numbers is basically the volume growth.
Okay, got it. And what kind of peak sales are you expecting by when?
The peak sales are still based on, as we had originally indicated, we expect it to be somewhere in the range of $50 million for either both products. And we expect it to happen in the next 3 years.
Okay, great. Thanks. And second question is actually on, you know, Reditux. So in Russia, are we on track to launch this in 3Q as indicated earlier? And with the, you know, as you mentioned, currency impact is largely getting over. So do we expect a very strong 2H?
This is a tender. Tender is slated to be in Q3 and will certainly participate strongly. So beyond this, if you win, we will certainly see revenues.
So these tenders are one time or this can continue quarter on quarter?
You know, this is, I think, the biggest national tender is twice in a year.
Half yearly, yeah.
Okay, perfect. And this this is a longish contract, so this can see the impact in the next quarter and following quarters as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I think yearly sort of it goes to. Currently there are, you know, three sort of approvals. I mean, the innovator is there. There is a Russian player and us.
Okay, great. I have questions. I'll join back.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, all. Sir, Abhishek, sir, one question on PSI business. This quarter benefit from delayed shipment from 1Q. I just wanted to understand that if this a new rate should be worked with, or just because of delayed shipment, this PSI sales in this quarter is much higher?
This is a B2B business, and so, I mean, you know, you shouldn't read, you know, always, you know, very deep into a quarterly figure. But having said that, there is, it's not that it is a delayed shipment or something, because sometimes it's also part of the PSI business is the custom pharma business. You know, the orders come sometimes in chunks. More importantly, I mean, since you asked the question, let me clarify. The health of the business, I think, I feel very satisfied about. I think overall, I think the gross margins look certainly better than what it used to be 6 quarters back. That's important. Supply situations are broadly under control. New products are kicking in. And last but not the least, I mean, standalone figures are important for this business, but we'll always have to remember that this is strategically important to the base business.
Yeah, that's helpful, sir. Just one more clarity on this product you bought from Teva, NuvaRing. Now, when you bought this product from Teva, in your internal calculation, for how many years do you think it will remain a two-generic player market? Just as a rough idea. Because I just want to see that versus the amount that you paid for the 8 products, if the situation continues for more than 2 years as a two-generic market, then it's just very sweet deal.
Look, I think, I mean, let me make a broad commentary before I come to NuvaRing. I think we feel reasonably satisfied with this as things stand today. The two major assets have litigations, and some of the information in public domain, and overall, you know, the going is good. You know, in terms of our expectations and diligence, I think it's playing out well, and we have reasons to be satisfied. NuvaRing is a drug device type of a combination, and you know, to hazard a guess that when is the third player coming in, I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, that would be, you know, a shot in the dark, so it doesn't make any sense. But overall, we feel good about the two lead assets and some of the other assets as well,
the smaller. Sure, that's helpful. So if I can ask one question to Soumen, sir, on the interest cost. Now, for the Teva debt that we've taken for this deal, how much is the interest roughly cost for the debt? Because two sub-questions there, because sequentially our interest cost is down. Has that Teva debt contributed to interest expense in this quarter?
Yeah, to the extent we took in the middle of the quarter, the interest expense is there. But so far it is a short-term borrowing, so the interest rate is low.
And why would our interest cost be down sequentially?
Basically, we also need to, as per the accounting requirements, certain portion might get capitalized also. So it's a net impact of that.
Okay, maybe I will take any detail in offline. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, sir. Just one clarification, whether the Nexium rising shares in the Nexium has supported this quarter in the U.S. business?
Okay. Nexium, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Share in the Nexium has supported this quarter.
I think, you know, it's stable and double digits. And nothing major to report at this juncture. It's going fine. But as and when new competition comes in, there may be some erosion.
Okay. Secondly, in fact, I just wanted to know something more on the NDA launches that we had talked about. So, what is whether the kind of expenses what we are currently incurring on that is sort of stabilized and we should be seeing a kind of the kind of a similar trend going ahead in the subsequent quarter, or it can see a kind of a spike also, and by what time we should be expecting a break even for this division?
I see we have earlier told that for rest of the year in proprietary product, because of the in-process R&D assets that we acquired, we will be spending an additional roughly around $25 million. So we will be very much within that kind of a range. With that, that will explain the incremental R&D spend that we are doing overall for the organization.
Yeah.
Property products, you had a detailed commentary from Anil in terms of the two products that you have launched in the market.
Great.
That's how one is focusing in terms of generating more prescription.
Yes.
And we'll have to now see the moment both in terms of our existing organic R&D as well as the in-process R&D. And depending on that, the overall break-even timelines, you know, could vary.
Okay. So in that case, whether whatever the growth on the prescriber front that we have seen in the recent quarter and recent months since the launch of the division, whether we have captured already 20% of the total potential key prescribers or it is like 30%, 40%, some sense can you provide on that?
Yeah, sure, I'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have right now captured roughly around 15% or so in neurology and slightly higher in dermatology. But we intend to capture much more over the next coming months. As I said, there has been, we have seen a significant growth month by month, actually, and if this trend continues, then we will be able to capture a significant proportion of our key prescribers within the next several months.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Just one last question. Any update on, see, what are the kind of update that we received from US FDA on the earlier communications that we have already provided to them? Any clarity that you have so far received, sir?
No, I mean, normally the interim updates are not common, so there is no interim update. But certainly we are in the process of trying to organize a face-to-face, which is moving ahead. Beyond that, there is no update.
Okay. Okay. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sameer Basiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. Abhijit, if you can update us on three key opportunities. One is Eloxy court case. Second is Copaxone 20 mg refiling. And the third one is on Gleevec, the site switch and potential launch in the 4Q?
Eloxi, hopefully, we would see, we'll hear something in Q3. And I think there's, you know, enough predictions made by various people who are knowledgeable on the subject. So let's see how that works out, and then, you know, that will be very big even for us, but we'll see how it pans out. The second is Gleevec. We had mentioned that, you know, sometime in Q4, you know, the site transfer, et cetera, has been submitted in time, and I think that shouldn't come in the way of approval. Currently, as you know, two more have launched, and I think also some of the public domain announcements from Innovator, there could be one more at least coming in, and then let's see. So beyond that, I, you know, your guess is as good as mine. The third,
Copaxone
20 mg, well, the validation batches are complete. Looks good. Compilation of the response is going on. I mean, we are behind schedule by a couple of weeks, but because the amount of, you know, analytical data to be generated is fairly heavy, but we, again, feel good about the way the whole thing has panned out. I think we have the work done is good, and this would be hopefully by, let's say, by second week of next month, we should respond back on the DMF. And this is the same DMF for 40 meters.
Okay, this is very helpful. And Abhijit, on Eloxi, it would be a district court decision. Would you, assuming if you get a favorable one, would you rather wait for appeal, or would you be launching, would you be prepared to launch at risk?
Wouldn't comment on that, Sameer. I mean, this is, I'm asking this question. I mean, let this be debated internally, and we'll see whatever happens. Yeah.
Okay. And the second question, which is in your opening remarks, if I'm not wrong, you mentioned that, you know, some of your top products, you know, there could be more competition coming in, and there could be more downside. So do you think there's more vulnerability left in, say, your top five, top six products over next 2 to 4 quarters? I mean, in a material manner, not a small
hit. I understand where you're coming from. But you see, in the, you know, in North America generics, the order of that day is to always be prepared for some downside. When you ask me that, do we have concrete sort of visibility on competition coming in? Maybe not, but, you know, you always hear that someone is getting ready on this. We hear Nexium, you know, several people, so on and so forth. So, I mean, I wouldn't be able to back it up with specifics, but I think in today's terms, I think market is getting crowded, it's consolidated market shares, you defend, you lose. You don't defend, you lose. So, I mean, always better to be prepared for the worst.
Okay, thank you. I've got a few more. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I think in the opening remarks, you talked about the working capital, you know, days has actually stretched. Can you just tell us how much of that is because of the channel part? And how much would be for the launches that you are anticipating in the second half?
So mostly for the launch preparation as well as you know, geographic expansion that we are doing, and there is some volatility which is there in our payables. Last quarter, you know, it was a increased kind of payable day, which we can run back to our normal range. So that has an impact in terms of the working capital.
So nothing from the consolidation of the channel, you think? That has played out largely?
I mean, there is no exceptional kind of this thing.
Okay. On the second question is on this NPPA provisions, I think 34 crores, you know, is there more? Can you just update us on the several cases that are happening for not only you, for several of the players? Just your thoughts on the whole thing.
So the NCPA case is primarily what IPA has filed, and that was initially rejected in the High Court. And then even recently when the attempt was made by IPA to get it admitted in Supreme Court, that also all been dismissed. So we have, you know, now accrued that potential liability, which is 34 crores on that. And definitely, you know, half of the products we are already complying. And so remaining half, immediately we start complying from now.
So do you foresee, do you foresee more such provisions? That's the question I had, sorry.
It depends on some other cases which are going on in terms of the method of computation. So one has to wait and find the outcome of those cases. We have right now accrued the liability as what is very logical and right kind of provision.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nimesh Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. A lot of them have already been answered. Just a few product updates on Cubicin and Dipyrivan. Cubicin is Deptomycin and Dipyrivan, that will be helpful. When do you think you will be launching those products?
Specific comments we would not be able to give you. You asked about Cubicin. What is the other product you asked for?
Dipyrivan, Propofol.
Same thing. Yeah, so which is the other one? Second one, Propofol.
You are not very clear. You know, can you repeat?
Yeah, the first one is Cubicin, that is Daptomycin.
Yeah.
The second one is Dipyrivan, which is Propofol.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't comment. I mean, they're in portfolio, yes. But I wouldn't comment on the timeline.
Okay. Not even a broad comment like FY17 or next year, something like that.
We normally do not comment on our, you know, pipeline and portfolio specifically.
Okay. The other one, you know, among the facilities which are actually under USFDA warning letter, have we seen any regulatory update on from any other regulatory agency other than US?
Health Canada audited our CTO facility, chemical takeoff facility, which is in the Srikakulam district, and they have indicated compliant status now.
Oh, great. So this is the API one?
Yeah, this is good news for that plant because the last audit happened by the Australian authority that also went well, and now Health Canada has also done well.
Does that any which way increase the chances of US PA getting cleared earlier, or is that too much to read?
We don't want to comment and speculate on US FDA action. We would be eagerly waiting for any inspection that may happen.
Any regulatory agency audit is completely their prerogative. So it will be there is absolutely no connectivity between the different regulatory agencies. Since you asked, I will just give you that data point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manoj Garg from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for taking my question. So Abhijit, just, you know, since there's a recent ruling where activists has won the litigation for Nuvaring, so just would like to understand, you know, do you think that probably you see a higher visibility and possibility of you launching these products in the next fiscal year?
Not impossible, but it's under litigation. So there is one data point, as you know, in the public domain, which you can look up, which is gone into generics. The file has fairly, good position, but, it's in the court of law. But we, as I mentioned, overall, we feel good about the current status. Now, things may change, but we feel good.
Fair enough. And the second thing, as a part of risk mitigation, since most of the key assets, which were from the affected facilities, you have already done the site transfers. But are you also now looking to, do the similar thing for even some of your key assets in FY18 as well?
We will have to continue. We have a program. We are closely overseen, and I personally chair those meetings. It's an important activity for this company, and we are continuing to do those things. I think we wouldn't like to take chances, but it takes time. Even after the tech transfer, when you submit, it goes through some time frame which the agency may take for going through the data of stability and all that. So, but the activity continues completely in full swing.
Sure. And the last question from my side, if I can, particularly like the Russian guy, like BioCred, has put an allegation on Roche that they have been taking very high price cuts for some of their biosimilar assets in Russia, in order to make sure that generic companies goes out of the business. So with your backdrop and obviously you participating now in one of the products through the tender, like what's your view on that and how do you see, in terms of overall pricing environment for rituximab in the Russian market?
So I know any allegation is prerogative of that particular company. We'll go through the normal process. We will participate in the tender and see what happens. And it's not just about Russia. As we speak, we're fairly excited about many markets where we have filed. I think we're seeing traction in terms of regulatory agencies receptive to, quickly to review these files. And I think there is, from the access affordability angle, it's an exciting journey in many of these markets where the penetration is hindered by the price, and we would like to play a role while creating our own business.
Sure. So I have more questions. I'm in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. Abhijit, on the U.S. side, the new launches are quite critical as you keep facing competition. So slightly from a longer-term perspective, maybe FY18 and 19, can you just help us understand how should we think about, because last 2 years we haven't seen any major launches from Dr. Reddy's. And particularly on product-specific Copaxone, since you're going to refile it, how confident about you feel about the approval, given that there's already one generic in the market? Do you have enough visibility now, or some guidelines from FDA that makes you feel now when you submit, it would be in a stage where it can be approved quickly?
So let me give you the broad picture first. I think overall, the filing approval scenario is clearly moving in the right direction. There are always ifs and buts, as I mentioned, so without those disclaimers, I think we are feeling good about the next year as well. So let's see how this pans out. I know it's a combination of our filings, it's a combination of some of the partnerships. These partnership activities started some time back, gaining traction. Some of them are thoughtfully done, and it should be an important part of the business as well. So all in all, I think again we remain optimistic. Copaxone, I think, as I said, validation is complete. From our angle, I think we have done a fair bit of job, detailed. Let's submit and see. These are complex assets. It's just one approval, and I think we have done. We took our time to sort of go through the response, let's see how that progresses. Yeah.
And in terms of your patches and soft gels, etc., when do you expect those launches?
You mean the other products in terms of soft gels and other patches and all that? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Moving on, Moving on, you know, there is some settlement in one product. Moving on, I mean, these are new areas, but I think the learning curve is slowly getting behind us. I think we are moving, you know, okay. That's why I'm saying some of this, hopefully next year, we should be seeing. Let's see. Let's see. Yeah.
Okay. And my second question, you know, is related to, you know, Octoplus and complex injectable filings from there. Any progress on that front?
Progress is happening. I mean, injectable pipeline overall is shaping up well. It's not just complex. So there are carefully picked opportunities. If you do the portfolio management well, you know, the opportunities, we take some bets on. Some of them are good. I mean, Octoplus is a combination of, you know, semi-complex and complex. The complex story is yet to play out in full, but there are lots of assets which are value accretive still, which are some of them filed, some of them filing.
Okay, that's helpful. And just one last question on prop products and biosimilars. This, you know, Zikla's approval has not yet come through. Any reason for that? And secondly, if you can update on your biosimilar program.
You know, Zikla's approval we'll not comment on at the moment. Anil, you want to comment on Zikla's specifically, and I'll take the biosimilar.
Sure. So the Zikla's approval is pending feedback from the FDA on our plants because the API is manufactured in one of our plants. So we anticipate that as soon as we get positive feedback, we will be able to contact the FDA for approval and eventual launch. So it is tied to the timelines of when we get FDA clearance.
And on biosimilars, the story is progressing well on the emerging markets. While as you know, the regulated markets are slightly long term, emerging markets, I think, as I mentioned, I think probably next year you'll will see meaningful sort of launches coming up.
And just a clarification on Zikla, you mean it's from Srikakulam and that's the reason you're not getting an approval?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I said, yes. Yeah.
And is there a possibility to do site transfer for this product?
Yeah, I mean, this one is an NDA, so we'll have to sort of see it through. I'm not fully aware of the regulatory part of this currently.
Until we get clearance from the primary side, it will be difficult to do a site transfer at this time.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Agrawal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. On the biologics side, can you please tell, let us know in terms of what is the size of the biologics business that we're doing right now? And secondly, how many assets are we currently selling in the emerging market?
Currently three. The earlier assets, Reditux, Pegfilgrastim, and Dalfurthin Crest. So these are the three. Give or take the revenues about
more range, than $40 million,
$50 million, yeah. In the range of $50 million. But as I said, the bigger ones, hopefully in the near future, Russia, Venezuela, maybe Algeria, maybe a few other countries, which we are very actively sort of currently we are selling in several markets like Chile, Vietnam, Ukraine. We just launched just about a quarter and a half back, doing very well. So let's see.
And it's $40 million or thereabouts is across, including Indian sales also, the sales in India?
Yeah, that's right. It is in between 40 to 50.
50. Yeah, like 50. Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, on in terms of the pipeline, how does the biologics pipeline really look like for us?
Again, without getting into specifics, the two more MABs are well in clinic, progressing well. So based on you know, certain amount of data, we will go ahead with the emerging market and keep moving that further. So that's going well, both in clinics.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Abhishek Sharma from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, I just wanted to ask you about, you know, the base business and its impact, you know, the impact that it had on account of warning letter. Was there any loss of volume on any of the existing products that you would hope to make up once the warning letter is lifted?
Volumes, I'm not sure was impacted because of the letter, but yeah, certainly, I mean, we've lost opportunities and some of it is history now, and I mentioned in earlier, you know, we were in the first wave of Nexium, which was a big thing, and there are a few other products which we certainly we missed out, and you know, the won't quantify the figure here, but I think it's been a significant impact, but hopefully most of it is behind us, and we'll be able to sort of here on move the needle up. You know, I'll leave it there.
Sure. And the second one is around SG&A cost. Apart from remediation, is there any other cost line item, you know, which helped reduce the number on an absolute basis sequentially? And can this go down further?
We have been focusing on, we have a cost excellence program, an operational excellence program to specifically, you know, see that where there is a possibility of improvement. So that's why, you know, year on year basis, you see that the increase is very nominal, which is actually mostly for the annual increments that we would have given effective 1st of April. And going forward, this is one area we are going to continue to drive and see that, you know, how we can get better productivity. But a lot of, you know, productivity depends on actually the revenue line increasing. As we see, you know, if the revenue goes up, we can expect a better EBITDA margin.
Sure, sir. Very helpful. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shaunak Savla for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining the call. In case of any additional clarifications, please feel free to reach out to Ashish, Amit or myself. Thank you, Anil, for joining in the call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.